morning. Good morning to you. How y'all doing this morning? Amen. Man, I tell you, that worship is on point. It is on point. Thank you, Pastor, man. And I want to thank Pastor Jarrett Stevens and the rest of the leadership here for having me with you. Y'all got to deal with the bald head black preacher. Amen. For the next hour. Amen. So I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for Jarrett. I want to say this. The Bible is very clear on giving props where props is due. Y'all have one of the greatest leaders in all of the country. So I want to tell y'all that. Literally. Not saying that because he told me to say it. Amen. This is true. He's sharp. He's godly. He loves the Lord, loves his family. And I'm going to tell you what. Y'all hold on because Champion Forest, something is cooking. Amen. And so I'm grateful for you and Jeff, Young and Carol. Man, we go way back. Amen. And so I'm grateful. I want to if you wouldn't mind, I would like to just argue for a little bit the importance of Scripture. Is that okay with y'all this morning? The importance of the Bible. If y'all pray, I will preach. So this morning, what we're going to talk about is how to study the Bible for all it's worth. How to really get what you should be getting out of Scripture. Really arriving at the big idea. Let me back up. Really arriving at the exegetical idea, and then the homiletical idea, or the theological idea, then a homiletical idea. In other words, you say, Mark, you're throwing these big terms around. What I mean is this: exegete the text properly helps you get to the theology of what's being taught, then the homiletical idea is the big idea. So that means, Lord, as I study Scripture, I want to make sure I get exactly what you desire for me to get out of the text. And so it's amazing. As once said that a mentor said, hey, mentee, let's go to this cave. And this cave is called the Echo Cave. And they went to this cave, and the mentee didn't know what was really going on. He was just trying to follow his mentor. He really wanted to just see what was going on with this actual cave. And so they get to the cave. Do y'all see him? They arrive at the cave, and the mentor said, hey, young man, go ahead and scream into the cave anything, and it'll resound back to you. It'll echo back. So the young guy steps up. Y'all can see him. He's excited. He's elated. He gets up and he goes, baloney! And he hears nothing. So he goes, man, what are you supposed to, man, hey, wasn't this thing supposed to holler back at me? It's supposed to say something back to me? And so the mentor said, hey, why don't you go ahead and do it again? He gets up and says, I'm the greatest preacher in the world. And the cave said, baloney! A lot of misunderstandings. There's a lot of misunderstandings with Scripture. There's a lot of misconceptions about the Bible throughout history and our culture today, even within Christianity. Here's what I mean. There's statements that we have clung to that are not even in Scripture. In other words, y'all know some of them. You'll know these once I start stating them. God helps those who what? Man, that ain't in the Bible. You take two steps, God will what? He'll take three. That's not in the Bible. Here's one that we cling to. Cleanliness is next to what? Though there are some principles, when the priest had to go in the temple, there's some correlations, but in essence, that particular verse is not in the Bible. So what are you harping at, Marcus? The writer is going to help us in Psalm 119 and 18 to have a healthy understanding of how we ought to approach the Bible and then study the Bible to get out of the Bible everything that we are intended to get out of the Bible. It's amazing because, again, I know this. I bring a lot of misunderstandings and presuppositions to the text. You say, what's presuppositions? My own ideas. Do you know that you bring stuff to the Bible? So in other words, the Bible is here not for us, as Robert Smith would say, great theologian. He said, the Bible is not here for us to edit or to adjust. It's here for us to obey. We don't have editorial rights. And so that's why I thought, man, Lord, what do I say to a church that you're on the move in? And he just encouraged me, Marcus, let him know to stand on God's word. Don't leave. Don't try to deviate or divorce Scripture, but it's the way we ought to approach the Bible. And this prayer this morning in Psalm 119 and 18 is going to help, hopefully, you as it's helped me. The Bible says this, open my eyes. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. It's amazing. Again, the scripture, the Bible. The Bible is God's self-revelation to us about himself. Do you know this morning, the fact that you have the Bible and you get to know and understand who God is and how he works, that's a grace gift. The fact that we have the scripture, that God chose to reveal himself to you and I through the scripture, yes, through his son Jesus, we're gonna get to him in just a little bit. But he chose to allow you and I to have the Bible to read, to know what's on his heart, to know what's on his mind, to know his will and his plan. And this writer says, open my eyes. Now you must say, hold on, well, aren't your eyes open? I'm looking at you right now. I mean, my eyes are open, my physical eyes. No, but he's really after the posture. So in essence, it's not just your physical eyes. The writer is saying, I don't want to miss Jesus. Help me, Holy Spirit. I don't want to miss the God of the Bible. I don't want to miss just being in the Bible and around the Bible and not change and transform by the Bible. Do you know that many in the church today, right now, as we gather as God's covenantal people, that many people are close or in church but going to hell at the same time? So what I mean by that is this, is that you can be around Jesus and still miss Jesus. This is a true principle in the New Testament. Many people were around Jesus and they were thronging him and around and saw the miracles, but yet they were in proximity, but their lives weren't changed. And I think the writer's arguing something. Could it be that you and I sometimes approach the text in very carnal ways? Have you ever had a fleshly day, a fleshly day? Anybody with me in here? Come on, y'all in church. I know y'all like, man, I can't, oh no. I'm talking about a fleshly day. Like just when you wake up, before your feet hit the ground, you're like, nobody better not mess with me today. You know what I'm talking about? But what's interesting is that the flesh is at war with the spirit. And there's a real battle within us. So what the writer is saying, I don't want to approach the text in a fleshly way. I don't want to approach the Bible in my own way, with my own understanding and the things that I bring to the Bible. But I know that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Lord, please, by your spirit, help me to approach the Bible to see the beauty of who Jesus is. Open my eyes. It's a disposition. It's a posture of the heart. It's a teachableness. It's the right view of yourself. To have the right desires. Saying that, God, you know what? I can't, but I know you can. Open my eyes. And here's what we say at Crossroads. When we read the Bible, we like to say this. Don't get mad at the pastor. What you ought to do is say, God, you're right. In your word, you're right. I'm wrong, and by your grace, help me to change. It's not up for debate. It's not up for question. It's not up for negotiation. Lord, your word, and so please open my eyes. Because if my eyes are not open spiritually, what happens is you and I can come to the church, hear a sermon, and still leave the same. You and I can be in a Bible study and really ask this question or say this to ourselves. I don't want the Bible to impact me today. Amen. Many of you in the room today, you're here for a reason. You're on a journey. You're on a quest. This is what this writer in Hebrews, what it actually, in Hebrew, this is what it looks like. He said, open my eyes because I'm longing for something. I'm longing for something that I don't have in my own life right now. But open my eyes that I may see you. And this quest and longing within me, I realize that it's only you that can fulfill what's going on inside of me. So open my eyes. Isn't it amazing that our culture today, they're on a quest? You don't have to look too long. People are on a quest for being self-motivated in regards to being media extravagant people. In other words, having material possessions, being an influencer on social media. Maybe it's about your 401k or your 403b. I don't know what it is, status or other materials. We're all on a quest. And the writer is telling us today, the soul quest that we all ought to be on is a quest to have our eyes open to see truly King Jesus, the author of life. And there's no real quest outside of this one. Can I drop it like it's hot in here this morning? There's no real quest outside of King Jesus. The writer is saying, I want to encourage somebody this morning. Somebody ought to be praying this prayer. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things. St. Augustine said this. He said, believe that you may understand. So you may say, well, Pastor, I do this and I do pray. I'm in Bible studies, but I don't feel like it sometimes. I don't feel connected to the text. Well, let me encourage you with this. How about you just go from here going, God, I want your theology, your word, theology to be the engine. Your word be the engine. Choo-choo. You be the engine. My feelings be the caboose. So in other words, if I let the Bible drive how I view my neighbor, if I let the Bible drive how I view my spouse, if I let the Bible drive how to raise my kids, if I have the Bible drive how to love my neighbors, if I have the Bible drive how to tame my tongue, I don't want to do it, but guess what? I'm going to let your theology, the truth of your word, open my eyes. And guess what? This caboose ain't got no choice. It's going to follow. Open my eyes. I want to see some real stuff. I don't want to play church. I just want to look the part. Lord, this dude is saying, man, Lord, all of me. Yeah, this excites me. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to meander from one day to the next day. I don't want to just roll the dice on my Christian life. He's saying, no, Lord, I want to maximize everything that you in eternity past longed and set in play for me to actually walk in. I want that. And he says, open my eyes. Well, the good thing is when we do that and when God opens our eyes, we leave just having knowledge about God and it turns into knowledge of God. And something changes. And he says, well, open my eyes spiritually that I may behold wondrous things. That's the second thought. First thought is open my eyes. That's our posture. How do you approach the Bible? Maybe the Spirit right now is telling you, man, you walked in with a closed mindset. Again, that word open means to uncover, to reveal, to unleash. Unleash what? He says wonderful things. To behold wondrous things. What are these things? So if my eyes are open, let's just do basic logic. If my eyes are open, God longs for my eyes to be open. God longs for me to behold. Y'all staying with me here? He longs for me to behold. Well, just behold anything? Behold myself? No. But behold wondrous things in the law. He's saying, pay attention. You better catch this. Pay close attention. Don't miss this. Give me your undivided attention. I love this because it's like when you look at Isaiah and Isaiah chapter 6, you see this interesting dynamic that when the revelation of God, when he saw who God is, then and now, there was a response. He saw the train of his robe, God's train of his robe filling the temple. He saw the angels singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Isn't it amazing that these angels are in the presence of God and we're gonna be with them one day? Amen on that, amen. Have you ever wondered why they can keep going around the great God of the universe and constantly saying, holy, holy, holy? Wouldn't they get tired of that? Here's the deal. God is eternal. I know in our minds, my mind, I don't get this as well, but God is eternal. That means he has no end. So with these angels having been created to worship God, here it is. Every time they go around him, they get a new glimpse of his glory. Ooh, holy, are you? And they cover their eyes and they go around again and they can't stop but to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And this is what the psalmists want us to know, that we want to behold the beauty of who God really is. And not only that, Isaiah said, man, and woe is me then. Something happened there. Revelation brought trepidation. Revelation brought demonstration. The revelation of God brought transformation. Because what the writer is saying here, when we behold the character of God. Everybody say character of God. And when we behold the character of God as seen in Scripture and seen in His Son, Jesus Christ, we know that God can back up what He puts out. How many of y'all remember Millie Vanilli? Anybody in here? See, man, some of y'all, right, the righteous people right here in the front, they like, man, man, for sure, Doc, I got you. Millie Vanilli. Millie Vanilli was cold back in the 80s. Man, we lived in Oakland, California. I mean, Millie Vanilli, they were cool, man. They had like the dreads before dreads were cool. Jumping around on the stage, cool songs, it was popping. Blame it on the rain. Y'all remember that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look at y'all. Y'all did not know y'all were coming to church to sing Millie Vanilli. Amen. Millie Vanilli, blame it on the rain. I used to think, man, when I got older, man, why are we blaming the rain? Why are we blaming the rain? But then he had another song that was entitled, Girl, You Know It's True. Y'all know that one? And so actually, look, y'all are ready to sing it. Y'all, man, y'all, boy, y'all need to pray, amen. So but they were at one concert. They sold out venue after venue after venue. They were at this particular concert, and you see all the people in there. Here's Millie Vanilli, the headliner. And they're here, and they're actually getting ready to go through their set list. They start working through the set list, and they get to this one song, Girl, You Know It's True. Millie Vanilli, you see both of them. And they got to going, girl, you know it's true. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I love you, right? They start working through. And then they got to the chorus again. Girl, you know it's, girl, you know it's, girl, you know it's, girl, you know it's, girl, you know it's. See, some of y'all up top, y'all finally getting it. Girl, you know it's. The record started to scratch. So here, Millie Vanilli are on stage in front of all these people, and what happened? Their character couldn't back up what they were putting out. So here's what we need to know about God, the God of the universe who spoke everything into existence. The God who screws their stars in their fiery sockets by night. The same God who hung the sun as a medallion around the neck of the universe. This God, the one who gives the burp to the frog, the long trunk to the elephant, the quickness to the cheetah. This God, the one who said, fish, I'm gonna create you, but I'm not gonna give you any swimming lessons. You get on there and do your thing. This God can back up what He put out. You see, we don't serve a Millie Vanilli God. We don't serve a God who can't hold us up based on His word, based on what He's put out, based on what He said. Somebody needs to hear this today. Maybe you're wondering, God, can you really do this? And God is going, trust me. Can you do this? Can you heal my home? Can you heal this longing within me? Can you really save me? I'm a wretch undone. Can you really save me? I know other people, I see salvation in their life, but Lord, can you really save me? Jesus is saying, my blood is sufficient for every single person. How do you, this is a great I am. We're not talking about some old Millie Vanilli God. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. These wondrous things, though, you wonder, man, like, man, what are these wondrous things, right? Behold, the beauty, behold, these wondrous things. Well, I started to think about this as I was studying. I said, man, what are these things? They're wonderful things. They're things beyond one's power, my power, your power. Extraordinary things, amazing things, mind-blowing things, unexplainable things, beyond the surface type things. Soul level. Can I give y'all a list? The wondrous things as you study Scripture is that we dropped the ball, you and I, yes. I know Adam and Eve were in the garden, man, for one chapter. One chapter.
It was good. And we blew it. But you know what? God said, I got you. Grace. So Jesus comes through 42 generations. He lives the life that we were supposed to live. He died the death that we were supposed to die. He rose again on the third day. That if anyone put their faith and trust in Jesus alone for salvation, to be redeemed and forgiven of your sins and my sins, the Bible says you will be saved. But what are these wonderful things? Yes, Jesus, he's the only way to the Father, John 14 and 6. How about this? That I was lost and now I'm found. Come go with me here. I was blind, but now I see. My sins have been forgiven. I have a new identity in Christ. I have a new purpose in Christ. I have a new destination in Jesus. I'm heaven bound. These are wonderful things. That's not all. Jesus will give you grace for your gloom, mercy for your misery. He'll give you hope in despair. He'll give you joy and sorrow, peace and chaos, light your path, victory over sin. He will never leave you nor forsake you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I am more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. There is now no condemnation for anyone in Jesus. These are wonderful things. You and I were once enemies, but now he calls us children. Hallelujah. Bible says, well, hey, open my eyes. I don't want to miss him. I got to see him. I will long to see him. And it's a gift that God wants us to see him. We're going to sing on the back end again, but I'm going to challenge you guys. Do you really want to see Jesus? You know what A.W. Tozer said about music in the church? He said, Christians don't lie lies, they sing lies. In essence, he's saying that we sing these songs about who God is, but in our hearts, there's still a disconnect. So when we sing in a little bit, when we respond, man, y'all ought to go full throttle. Open my eyes that I may see you. When you behold the Lord and the wondrous things in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, you'll realize that you don't have to go searching horizontally for what you and I have been given vertically by God through his son, Jesus Christ. In the gospel will begin to scream louder than anything in your life. Some of you guys, I know you're in a situation you have no idea how to get out. Let the gospel scream louder. Some of you are going, my relationships in my life are really messed up and jacked up. I don't know if this thing can ever be reconciled. Let the gospel scream louder. Some of you guys are questioning, man, why am I here on earth? Man, what is my point? Man, why am I taking up space and heat? What is the deal? What? Let the gospel scream louder. Some of you are wondering if God loves you. Well, his love for you is clearly and very purely displayed at Calvary. When God, in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, he literally, again, as I stated a little while ago, he lived the life that we should have lived. He died the death that you and I should have died. He loves you. And maybe that's what you need to hear today. God literally loves you. Maybe your parents said something different. God loves you. Maybe it seems like your circumstance doesn't really dictate or describe the love of God, but here it is. God loves you. His character, again, he's not a milli vanilli God. His character can back up what he puts out. That's what the writer is challenging us. Man, open my eyes. I want to behold wondrous things. But notice his last deal. He says, out of your law. So if it's open my eyes, you have the posture of brokenness, a tenderness, a teachableness, a humility. These wonderful things, that's the purpose. I just don't get in the Bible just to get in the Bible. There's a purpose for which when we open up the Bible, every time we open up the Bible, there is a response required. So here it is. It's out of your wondrous law. Y'all see that? If you like to draw in your Bible or write in your Bible, go ahead and underline that. And then circle out of. I love studying scripture. Some people think I'm a nerd. Amen. But I love studying the Bible. I do. I love the scripture. But I think this is very interesting because the writer says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of. He had enough understanding and wisdom to go, I don't want to read into the Bible what's not in the Bible. I want to make sure that the Bible is articulating what it wants to articulate. I want to make sure that I'm handling the Word of God very carefully. I want to make sure that I'm rightly dividing the Word of God and not making the Bible say what I want it to say. Y'all know you can do that, right? Out of your law, exegesis, exit, out. As I pray and study, God will give me the meaning. But there's three different words that's typically used from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Regards to the word. Graphe is the first word, and graphe really means just the ink on the pages. You see the pages here, and it's just the ink that is on the actual page. You see the ink on the page. That's graphe. Graphe, mere ink on the page. The second word is logos, and that word is meaning the point of the ink on the pages. I want to take you on just a journey here. It's the purpose of why something was written. It's the message. It's the point of what is being articulated. So when you and I, when we hear a sermon, a Bible study, or even a podcast to some degree, we say, ah, I get it. Well, the Spirit of God has allowed you to leave just graphe, mere ink on the pages, and to arrive at the Logos, Jesus Christ. He's the point of the text. Y'all with me this morning? Jesus is the point of the text. Some of y'all are going, man, I thought I was the point. Nope. There's only one hero in the Bible, and it's King Jesus. And the rest of us, we're all misfits and extras in the movie. That's the truth. But the Logos, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. And the Logos, it became flesh. Jesus is the Word of God. If you ever want to know what the Father looks like, look at Jesus. Jesus is the selfie of the Father. And so you may say, I want to get out of the book. I want to get out properly. How do I approach it? Well, it's interesting because there are 66 books, 39 Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, 40 different writers, all different walks of life. Think of this. The book, this beautiful book that we came to hear from and hear God's voice speak to us today. This book, it was written over a span of 1,500 years, three different continents, three different languages, but yet one message, redemption. One author, God, who carried along the human writers. Some people question, I don't want to believe the Bible because it's just human writers. No, they were governed by the Spirit of God. He was the wind in their pen. He actually governed their hands. And so it's also the canon. That means the canon is closed. What we need to know about God has been made clear right here. God has made it clear to you and I. Here it is. And what we need to know about him, he's revealed it in the canon. The canon means measuring rod or ruler or stick. So in other words, I know now how to measure my life when I go back to school. Come on, high school, middle school students, y'all know what I'm talking about here? Some of y'all are like, why you mention that? Come on, man. Let me just enjoy the rest of my summer, man. Come on, man. But I know how to measure how I love my home, my spouse, my kids. Now I got the measuring rod. When I feel offended, I know now how to extend agape love and forgive as I ought to forgive. The measuring rod, the God's word. Here it is, 66 books has been given to you and I to be successful. What I mean by success is this, that you may look more like Jesus and less like yourself. I'm not talking about success like the culture would say. Because Jesus said this really in Luke 9:23, says, anyone comes after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. Thank you, Lord. This book can't be stopped. Y'all know that, right? This book cannot be stopped. He can't be stopped. And I wonder if this room, if some of y'all are on the graphe stage and you're there, and that this picture really means you have your Bible on your mantle at your home. And just because the Bible's on your mantle at home, you're like, I'm righteous, I feel good, I'm near the Lord. But remind you, it's just mere ink on the pages. I remember my grandmother, before she passed, she had this massive Bible on her coffee table. Y'all remember the big one with the illustrated pictures? Massive. And we were like little knuckleheads. So we would go by the Bible and be looking through it. And one day, one of my cousins decided to blow in it. And he did. He said, and dust flew out of it. So I'm like, man, even at a young age, I'm going, that ain't right, man. That thing is supposed to be dusty. Do you know dirty Bibles lead to dirty lives? Loose living leads to loose theology. So here it is. My grandma had a grave faith. I'm here to tell you, though, before she left this side and went to the other side, she gave her life to Jesus on her deathbed because she met the Logos and then Rhema. That's the applied word of the Logos. I can have a lot of head knowledge, but I haven't applied it. I can have a lot of craniology, but no cardiology. I can have a lot of information, but has it really impacted my heart? I'm gonna tell you something. I'm so encouraged today that this book can't be stopped. It cannot be stopped. Somebody say amen. 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 I love that over there. Amen. I could preach to you all day long. Amen. In 298 AD, Diocletian persecuted the Christian church. The Roman Empire, who murdered preachers, burned Christian villages, pillaged Christian families. Then in an unspeakable act of arrogance, set out to burn every Bible within the empire. So he thought. Over this burned pile of Bibles declared this in Latin, extincta nomina Christor renora. And it reads this in Latin, the name of Christ is extinct. Not even 10 years later, his handpicked successor, Constantine, trying to figure out what he saw in the sky, asked for a Bible. Somebody give me a Bible. Somebody give me a word. Open my eyes. And there would be no Bibles because your predecessor, Diocletian, had burned them all. So he thought. So Constantine offered a reward for someone to bring him a Bible if they had one. In less than 25 hours, more than 50 copies of the Bible showed up because not even the world's top rulers can stop this book. In 1778, when the notorious French philosopher Voltaire made an impressive, unprecedented, and blasphemous prediction, in 100 years, the Bible will be no more. A few years later, he died. And the Geneva Bible Society bought his house and used it as a distribution center to put Bibles all over the world. You can't stop this book because not even the world-class philosophers can restrain the power of God's word. Open up my eyes. We have a lot of contemporary pundits declaring the death of the word of God. But those who have placed the Bible in the casket of irrelevance and lowered into the ground of disregard have come to realize that the Bible, they've discovered that the Bible outlives its own pallbearers. God's word is unrelenting. His truth is everlasting. His commands are enduring. His gospel is indestructible. His judgments are indisputable. His corrections are timeless. This book is fresher than tomorrow's newspaper. It is more definite than the Constitution. It's the backbone of all of science. It is the highest aim of philosophy. It is the inspiration of poetry. It is the word of God. It will clarify your call. It will transform your life. It will help you fight sin and temptation. It will light your path. It will build your faith. It will feed your soul. Time cannot age this book, and ages do not tame or time this book. It is the only book that cures what it diagnoses. You have read many books, but this is the only book when you're reading it, it's actually reading you. You can't outgrow it, and you can't outlive it. Herod tried to stop it, but he couldn't. Diocletian couldn't destroy it, but he tried. Nero could not tame it. Hitler could not change it. Thomas Jefferson could not redact it. Saul of Tarsus could not kill it. Moses tried to record it. Jeremiah couldn't drop it. Hosea couldn't divorce it. It is the timeless, indestructible, self-sustaining word of God. Open up my eyes. Open up my eyes. That I may behold the wondrous things out of your law. Now, how many of y'all willing to trust the God of the Bible? Some of you need to give your life to Christ. He's here. He's here. Jesus is calling you home. Many of you are saying, man, I got to get in a life group. I want to grow. I've been trying to figure things out in my own understanding, my own intellect. I've been trying to white knuckle this deal through life. Jesus is saying, no. I'm here. Maybe you just want to pray with a leader. We'll have our pastors here in a little bit. Pastors, get ready. We want to pray. What did God reveal to you? It's okay, guys. The church is not a museum. It's a hospital. At Crossroads, we say this every single week. Welcome to Crossroads. It's a messy family reunion every single Sunday. Yeah. You know why? To break the facade and the pretense that you got it all together. It's okay to be broken before God. It's okay. It's okay to say, God, look, open my eyes. I thought I was seeing correctly. Here's my posture. Show me now. Thank you. Lord, I see it now. I see Jesus. I want him. I'm on a quest. It's him I'm after. Some of you need wisdom in your life. Come pray. Come kneel. Grab a spouse. Grab a friend. Leaders, get in place. I'm going to pray. When I'm done, however the Lord has led you, I pray that you'll respond accordingly. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for scripture. The Bible. It helps us know who we are, but most importantly, it helps us know who you are. It helps us know your plan for the world, your plan for our lives and the part we play. It lets us know about redemption. That Jesus, you came to save the lost, which all of us at some point were lost. We were born into sin. But because of Jesus and his sacrifice on Calvary, and that alone, it pleases the Father. It pleased the Father 100%. So now that anyone who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Bible says they will be saved. Amen. Not religion, not works. It's a relationship in Jesus. The Word made flesh. The Logos. And then, Lord, for the rest of us, I pray that we'll surrender something today and say, Jesus, let your word, the theology be the engine, and my feelings the caboose. Lord, you're right, I'm wrong, and by your grace, help me to change. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.